And so the works that we do, Paul says that God will try them by fire. So again, we have another analogy that he's using. And the analogy that he's using here is that of testing metals, testing elements, and burning off the dross, you know, the things that were worthless. So he's using that analogy. So now, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, does God have a big furnace where he's going to take our works and send our works through this furnace?
Welcome to In Kirk and Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2.
Okay, we're going to continue with our lesson that we started last week. And you may notice that the notes sent out today were in a little different format. I had a problem with one of my drives that I have my other stuff on, and I wasn't able to access it. So I had to send out something that I had from before. So the notes format might seem a little different. However, we press on in spite of. And we started out last week by saying what we do while we are here matters. What you do every day of your life matters in eternity. So don't think that your life is wasted. Don't think that your life has no meaning, because what we do here matters in eternity. You know, the fact, I believe, the fact that we just now prayed for that situation in the Ukraine, you know, hopefully that's going to affect time and eternity, that God will hear our prayers and that he will work according to his plan and according to his purpose. So when we pray for somebody, that matters here, and that matters in eternity. When we give a cup of cold water, as we said last week, in the name of the Lord, that matters here, and it matters in eternity. So that's the lesson that we've been looking at, the believer's rewards, or the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about how that is, Paul uses a analogy based on the Olympic Games of his day, and that there was a seat that was called the Bema seat. And this is where the athletes would go before the judge of the games and receive their reward. The Greek word for judgment seat is the Bema. So hopefully we've thrown that term around over the years enough that you are familiar with that term, Bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ. All right, the incorrect views. Some people say it's a time to determine salvation. No, if you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, you are saved. You are saved. If you're standing before the great white throne, you are not saved. So this is not a time to determine your salvation. It's not a time to dish out punishment for sin, that, you know, you're not going to be punished for your sins. Remember that Christ paid for your sins at the cross. All right. And then we went over this chart last week. So if you look in that third column, just by way of review, we see the time is the future, that you as a person, your position is a steward. The judgment, your service will be judged. Again, now look all the way back in that second column where it says judgment and your sins were judged. Where? At Calvary. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said it last week. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. My sins were judged at Calvary. So when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I will not stand to be judged for my sins. I'll be stand to judge as a steward for my service. And so just wanted to, we went into this chart in depth last week, but just wanted to point that out again, that that as a believer, your sins were judged at Calvary, that you don't have to give an account for your sins again. If you have to give an account for your sin, then that means you're not saved. Because the blood of Jesus Christ covers A-double-L-L, all sins. At Calvary, your sins were covered. Now, I will say this, that your sin might affect your service. Your sin might affect your stewardship. So we need to be careful now. But as far as being judged for our sins, Christ suffered for our sins at Calvary. And he received the punishment, he received the judgment for our sin. All right. The judge, as we said last week, is none other than Jesus Christ. The place, and I gave this chart last week, when we look at where we are now, it says you are here, the church age. The next event, according to the premillennial view, on the prophetic calendar is the rapture. And so we'll be raptured out. We spent about 2 or 3 weeks looking at the rapture. And then there will be 7 years of tribulation on this earth, but we won't have to deal with that. Now, some people believe that we're gonna go through the tribulation or partway through it. But I believe that Christ will deliver us from the tribulation and we'll be taken to heaven. And I believe during that 7 year period in heaven, that that's when the bema takes place. That's when the judgment seat of Christ takes place, that at that time we will receive our rewards. And then at the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back, the battle of Armageddon, and then he sets up his rule for 1,000 years. So that's what we're looking at here. So when we talk about when will the judgment seat of Christ take place, I believe it will take place in heaven when we are raptured up while the tribulation is going on here on this earth. All right. We talked about works that will be entered into the journal, how you treat other people, how you use your talents, how you handle temptation, how you discipline yourself, and how you deal with or endure persecution. So that brings us to the lesson today, as we finish up the believer's rewards, purification of the works entered into this journal. Purification of the works entered into this journal. We see that the only true judge of the believer's works, the only one that can judge people's works, is God in Jesus Christ, who is God, right? 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this: therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. Let that sink in. That we see people doing things. Somebody is helping people. Somebody is giving to meet a need. Somebody is serving in a particular situation. And what do we say? Oh man, there goes a great servant of God, right? Just think about that. There goes a great servant of God. We think that in our mind, in our heart. And you know, it's all right. I believe, I'm a firm believer that we need to give people their roses while they're still alive so they can smell them. And if they are doing something good, they need to be encouraged. If we are seeing people doing good, we need to encourage them. Okay, no question about that. However, even in the midst of all that, we don't know what their motives are. We don't know where their heart is. And so again, don't get me wrong, because now somebody can say, well, I'm not going to give anybody credit. I'm not going to tell anybody they're doing a good job because we don't know. No, that's not my point now. You know, it's just like when somebody, and this is before the pandemic, you know, people would come by the church and want to hit me up for money. And, you know, sometimes people would say, well, you know, you don't need to give them money. You know, you need to investigate. You need to do this. You need to do that. And you know, this is my philosophy, that unless I know that a person is scamming, and I know when they're scamming, because it's happened a couple of times and I didn't help people because I knew they were scamming. Unless a person is an obvious scam, I go ahead and give them the money. And you know why? Because once I give them the money, if I give it in good faith, then I believe that it's between them and the Lord. And if they wanted to pull the wool over my eyes, then, you know, they got to answer to the Lord for that. And so, you know, again, I've had somebody will say, well, how can you know if somebody was a scam? Well, you know, I'm going to tell you why. There was a guy that came to the church one time and he said that he was from out in the suburbs somewhere and his car broke down. He ran out of gas. And he asked me, could I give him some money for gas? He came to the church. And I gave him the money for gas. And then I think it was 2 days later, I was over by Penn and Braddock, and this same guy came up to my car, and he said he was from out in the suburbs, and his car broke down, and he asked me, could I give him money for gas? Well, I knew that was a, you know, again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? So I knew it was a scam. And so unless I know, I just go ahead and bless people, right? Because again, that's between them and the Lord. So I'm making that same analogy here as far as if somebody's doing something good, there's nothing wrong with giving them their kudos. I mean, as long as ultimately you're giving it to God, right? Ultimately, that's where it's go. But people, God uses people. And so it's all right if somebody's doing a good job at something to encourage them and tell them that they're doing a good job. Nothing wrong with that. But the point I believe that Paul is making here is that the bottom line is that we really don't know, you know, if a person is doing it with the right heart or not. You know, we look at it and we believe that they're doing it with the right heart, but only God. It's like, remember that commercial, what was it for? Clairol. And it said, what? Only your hairdresser knows for sure. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. I believe it was Clairol. That might not. Some of y'all correct me at the end now, whenever we put everybody's picture back on the screen again. Y'all correct me if I was wrong. But only your hairdresser knows for sure. That sounds like a good sermon, right? Only your hairdresser knows for sure. Only God knows for sure. You know, whether what you did was genuine or whether it was not. And so Paul says here again, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So again, the praise of man is one thing, but the praise of God is another thing. Now, how is this going to happen? How will God judge your works? 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. It says here, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Every man's work will be made manifest. Let me go back, right? And God will what? He will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest, all right? And will make manifest, all right? Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And so the works that we do, Paul says that God will try them by fire. So again, we have another analogy that he's using. And the analogy that he's using here is that of testing metals, testing elements, and burning off the dross, you know, the things that were worthless. So he's using that analogy. So now, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, does God have a big furnace where he's going to take our works and send our works through this furnace? And if they come out on the other side, that we'll receive a reward, right? Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. He don't need it. You know, again, Paul's using this as an analogy to say that our works will be tried like by fire. And so if God has a big furnace at the judgment seat of Christ, I have no problem with that. If he doesn't have a furnace at the judgment seat of Christ, I have no problem with that, because he is the righteous judge, and he's going to make sure that he will test every man's work. So now you see people doing these works, right? And as you do works, your works are made of, according to this passage right here, one of six substances: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. So that your works, everything that you do, can be categorized and classified in one of these categories. And so what God is going to do, he's going to send your work through the judgment fire. And if your work, I call them two things. I think I have it in your notes. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, in your notes, I have them. Two types of works: worthy works or worthless works. Worthy works are gold, silver, and precious stone. They will survive the fire. Worthless works are wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be burned in the fire. Now notice this. Again, this is not dealing with your salvation. It says that if your work is burned up, that you're going to suffer loss, but you will be saved, right? So you say, if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're at the Bema seat, you are saved, right? And the only thing you're going to lose at the judgment seat of Christ is your reward. You're not going to lose your soul. Your soul is already saved. So yeah, I want to make that point, and for us to understand that particular point right there. All right. So here goes, like, the purification right here, the purification of our works that really tell what we did, what it was made out of. The purification of the works. They are entered into the journal, right? And notice this. At this time, some believers will experience shame, that if your works are burned, the Apostle John says this: "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The word "ashamed" means to shrink back or withdraw. The cause of this shame comes from the believer's own sense of unworthiness due to careless or self-centered service. So some people at the judgment seat will shrink back. Now, you know, there might be a struggle, all right, and here goes the struggle. If I'm in heaven where everything is perfect and, you know, I'm done with the troubles of this world, why would I have to experience something in heaven that is not the most joyful experience, right? And so that's why I started off by saying what we do here matters. What we do here matters in eternity, right? So I believe, so somebody put it like this, right? It's like graduation day, right? On graduation day, everybody is happy because they're graduating, right? You made it. 4 years of college, you made it. Praise God, I'm graduating, right? But on that day, some people graduate magna cum laude. Some people graduate summa cum laude. Some people graduate cum laude. And then there are those who graduate praise the Lordy. Well, oh my Lordy, right? On that day, you know, the people that graduated with honors, you know, there's a little different reflection that they would have opposed to the person that didn't graduate with honors. But everybody is receiving the same thing. They're all receiving that diploma. Everybody is joyful because they graduated. Now, again, this might not be the best analogy, but it's the best I could come up with. And so on this day, there will be joy. There will be happiness because we are in heaven. And nothing can take away from the fact that we're in heaven. But I believe just for that moment, when we see all that we could have had and all that we could have done, I believe there will be that temporary time where we just bow our head and kind of, you know, put our hand over our eyes and just, you know, kind of shrink back a little bit. And then after that, you know, we roll on, right? Because what are we getting ready? After this, we're getting ready to come back with Jesus, right? When he comes back during his second coming at the Battle of Armageddon. So after that temporary, you know, that temporary kind of bowing the head and drawing back, then it's time to what? I like what Bo Ford said. It's time to get suited and booted. Oh my goodness. It's time to get suited and booted. It's time to put on the white robes. It's time to put on the wedding garments because we're getting ready to come back. My boyfriend's back and there's going to be trouble. Hey love. My boyfriend is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back with his bride, and he's coming back, and he's coming to take over. He's not coming as he did the first time. You know, he came into his own, and his own received him not, right? He came into his own, and they didn't know him, right? No, when he comes back the next time, he's coming back with us. We'll be suited and booted, and we're coming back. Now, again, Revelation 19 says that we're going to be wearing white garments. The wedding garments. So why are we wearing wedding garments?
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2, you can contact us at inkirkandjesus.org and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org, and request The Judgment Seat of Christ, Part 2, from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to anchoredinjesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored, Lord.